The easiest way to win playoff tickets is by following TSN 1050 on Instagram. Follow us, like our latest giveaway post, and tag who you want to bring to the game. It's that simple. Check us out at TSN 1050 on Instagram.
It's Mail It In Friday.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Yeah, it's Mail It In Friday.
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
So what?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official playoff voice of the Leafs.
How was that little noodle thing I dropped off for you last night?
Oh, did you go into the box and drop off something for...
Yeah, he did, actually, and I had a great tweet lined up. Now, I had to pull it off Twitter quickly, which I did, for reasons that we do not have to discuss at this particular moment.
No.
Okay.
But I had a great line, because I was messing around somewhere up in the press box. I don't know where I was or what I was doing. I was talking to people. It's,
yeah,
you know how it is. Stop and chat central up in the press box.
Yes, it is.
And I get down there just before the anthems, and I'm walking down to my spot, and up in the press box, everyone has a designated seat, right?
Yes.
So it says Brian Hayes, TSN Radio, and I get down there, and there is a basket of glory.
Really?
With a fork on top of it, courtesy of someone that must have popped into the alumni box.
I went and had some salmon and veg and a little bit of rice, and I looked to my left, and there was this big noodle concoction.
It was outstanding.
Really?
Unbelievable.
So it was like, you were right, like the Queen of England was being fed?
Yes. This would be on the royal wedding menu.
Really?
And people, and Meghan Markle would be like, I can't believe this. Meghan Markle herself would be like, I'm not worthy of this, let alone Prince Harry and all the other people.
Well, you know what? Let's get to it. Let's do a Jerry's percentage that you're going to have one more meal from the alumni box.
40%.
5.
5. All right. So you're saying a game 6? 22%. I'm between you guys.
I'm not ready to write off the rest of the year or the series yet. I'm not ready to get to that point. I do sense a lot of people are already turning the page on this year, and we're talking about the off season and... Listen, if those kind of conversations come up organically throughout the afternoon, so be it. But
3-1,
it's not done yet. Last night, they were the better team, and they couldn't score. And
you
they
thought
had...
Toronto was the better team?
Well, I didn't think it was close. I did not think it was close. You thought Boston was better than Toronto? They had two opportunities all night, and they scored on both. They had nothing on Freddie Anderson. Nothing. They had 2 2-on-1s, and they scored on both.
Yeah.
When else did they have opportunities?
When did Toronto have opportunities?
He made a good...
Marner breakaway, Marner-Marlowe 2-on-1. They were buzzing before the Marchand goal. They were all over the Bruins' end. All over them.
Yeah, it was a very... Like, from a chance standpoint, I thought the Leafs outchanced them. I thought Anderson made a good save on Nash at 3-1. There was a couple, but you're right. There wasn't that many.
That was the Maple Leafs game to win. They let it
get away.
It was,
but the Bruins did a really good job defensively. Like, there
brilliant
was just
in
no
the third.
Time. There
brilliant
was just no,
in the third.
I couldn't believe it, because I said to Steph at about 13 minutes left in the third, I said, I think they're trying to defend this way too early here. Because at 3-1, it's kind of a dangerous lead, especially in today's game. You can score two goals. In 13, 14 minutes. You can do that, absolutely. So I kept thinking, okay, they're sitting back, just advancing the puck. Cassidy's rolling all four lines, all four. And all four are playing the exact same way, no time and space, clog in the middle of the ice, and it was just chip the puck, ice the puck. And I thought, this is a little bit dangerous.
The third period was really, really boring hockey. But it was very efficient hockey through the Bruins.
The Bruins put a clinic on,
they put
a defensive
on a clinic. There's a reason they were the second or third ranked defensive
That's
team.
That's where I'm wondering where your head was at as far as the Leafs dominated the game. They had some like possession around the perimeter, but as far as a couple opportunities.
Okay, listen, dominant is probably not the appropriate word. I think they were the better team last night, but I will say that the Bruins deserve a ton of credit for playing what you would consider a textbook road playoff game.
Yeah.
Like they shut them down in the third
period. You're missing your number one centerman.
Which was huge. I mean, that's the thing. When, like, you talk about creating a stir throughout the rink. When word started buzzing that Bergeron wasn't playing.
6:30, that email came through from Masters. I was on the DVP. Took a quick glance at my phone. I was like, oh, this is going to be a spicy meatball. Because that, you know, I don't know if the Bruins hid that very well, or all the reporters who were covering this series did not do a very good job of sniffing that out. Because was he not...
He didn't miss a shift in Game 3, though. I don't remember him missing any shifts.
But in practice, in between, apparently Nash was being worked into the... Like, did they not dig deeper on that? I guess this is playoff hockey and you don't get any information. But I thought to myself, I'm like, with all of the people, let's say there's 100 people that cover this series, because there's a boatload of people. Nobody sniffed that out that, like, hey, like, let's keep an eye on Bergeron. Now, apparently he was talked to yesterday morning skate and said, yeah, you know, it's up to Cass and see what's going on. So people knew he was a bit nicked up, but they didn't know the extent. And all of a sudden he's not on the ice for warm-up, or I'm sorry, for game time coming out.
He wasn't out there for the warm-up either.
Well,
he didn't come out, you knew it was
that
done.
That was it.
And the Bruins, to their credit, I guess, sent out that tweet at around 6:30 and said officially he's out. But that was go time for the Leafs. Now, that Torrey Krug goal was abysmal. Oof. You can't have it. That's an awful goal.
First shift of the game.
It was crushing. It was crushing. But, you know, Plekanec scores about 10 minutes later, 12 minutes later.
I was sitting beside an NHL coach, a former NHL coach, pro scouting now, and I said to him, what do you think that, like, I tried to do at Jerry's with him. I go, what do you think the percentage of victories for the home team that allows that goal in the first minute is? He goes, I couldn't tell you, but I don't think it's very good. You know what I mean? The home team that allows that stinker in the first shift.
It was so deflating.
Yeah. Oh,
it was,
I know.
Like, people were barely in their seats. They're like, wait a minute, how did that go in?
You could talk about, I thought it was a terrible game.
Oh, it wasn't an overly entertaining game.
Yeah, the middle part of the game, we were sitting up there, and it's like...
Hey, let's be honest. The first round of the playoffs has been atrocious.
As far
awful.
As far as the entertainment
value.
Oh,
it's been brutal. Two sweeps, three series I think are going to end tonight. The only one that's really rolling is Washington-Columbus.
And Washington should be ahead in that series if it wasn't for Bobrovsky.
Yeah, but at least it's 2-2. You've had three overtime games. You've had something going.
Yeah.
But the first round, which is generally promoted as the best round of hockey and the most intense, it has really, really been a down year. All right, Ray is actually traveling down to D.C. He's going to be calling the game tomorrow for NBC.
Nice.
So we had to make an adjustment on the fly, and we got Ray on the phone right now.
Nice.
Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What's your take on that, Ray? I mean, you look at the series, a couple of sweeps out west, bunch of series at 3-1. Just really hasn't been that entertaining of a first round.
No, the one of the guys that I go on the radio with here in Vancouver, Matt Sakaris, who used to write at the Globe and, you know, is in Toronto. About a week ago, he said, you know, he had one of those poll questions, you know, is the first round falling flat? And I was like, no, it's not. It's, you know, it's exciting. And then I started to think about it, and I'm like, wow, there really hasn't been many overtime games. And then the series have spread out, as you mentioned. I don't think any of the three road teams win tonight either. And so now you're down five series that are done already. And it has been kind of a sleepy start to the playoffs. And usually this is the round that has all the crazy stuff in it. But it's just not been that way. I'm a little surprised, to be honest.
Yeah, the only thing that's, I guess, been really front and center has been suspensions. There's been...
Or debates over whether or not a guy should be suspended,
right, like,
or not
suspended.
Suspension.
But, like, player safety has been front and center.
Which is terrible for the league.
Outside of that, there hasn't been... You're right, the storylines. Like, I think Washington has been really good, and their Columbus is lucky to be at 2-2. Other than that, I mean... Does anybody think Philadelphia is going to beat Pittsburgh?
No.
Not at all. Like,
Jersey,
does anybody think Nashville's going to, or Colorado's going to beat Nashville?
No. I remember you talking about the format, and you're like, I love the first round. It's so awesome. It's garbage.
Well, you're supposed to. I mean,
yeah, you're supposed to.
Philly-Pittsburgh, based on the geography and everything, was supposed to be a brawl. We thought Vegas-LA would be a fun series.
Yeah.
It's just been really disappointing.
I don't know if, like, maybe because, you know, we spend a lot of the time in the season talking about parity and the salary cap and maybe with parity in the cap, if you have a bad 10 days, like you're not good enough, like you don't have enough depth to stay in a series, where maybe like you're, you know, Toronto's top guys haven't had a great series, and now all of a sudden they're down 3-1. You know, Colorado's not as good as Nashville, even though they've played really well. Now they got Andrew Hammond trying to keep their season alive. There's with the cap, I you know, it's tough to build enough depth that, you know, even if you were an underdog, I thought maybe before there seemed to be more chance of upsets, and I don't know if the cap had something to do with that, or the way you could make your roster a little different, or if this is just one of those years that you can't really do anything about. It can't be perfect all the time. It can't be great all the time. But this year's it's not been super exciting yet. The Washington series, like you mentioned, Noodles, like if it's possible to be ahead 2-2, I think Washington is.
Yeah.
Like they've been better. Bobrovsky's been amazing. Last night it looked like the moment was too big for Columbus. Like it was just, like they looked nervous and jittery, and then they were behind and they couldn't catch up.
Yeah. Ray, what did you make of Austin Matthews' performance last night in not speaking to the media after the game? Is that something you read into or think anything of, or first the performance and then what happened afterwards?
Yeah, performance first for me, but not to be ignored what happened after. I find now, you know, talking about the second part, is that teams protect the players so much that, you know, oh, I don't want to talk to the media. Get out there for 5 minutes. You got four PR guys. Tell them, okay, he's going to give you 5 minutes. Like, give something. Every game, you look at the NBA, every game, whether those guys want to talk or not, they're out there in a suit and they're standing there, win or lose.
Well, the other side of it, Ray, is he didn't play very well. Do you really want to hear him say, I didn't have it tonight? I don't know.
I mean, LeBron James sucks in a game and he goes out there and he's got to sit there. And to me, it's about whether if we think it's about promotion of the sport or not. I mean, he's not going to say anything. Hell, he doesn't say it. The only thing he said, I guess, he scored in game three, said it sounded like felt like an earthquake. Like, that was awesome. That was a great visual that he mentioned. I think the players should be accessible. They don't have to be out there for a half an hour. Tell them, okay, they're going to go out for 5 minutes. Like, bring them to a podium, 5 minutes. So, I watch the PR guys do it all the time. Okay, last question. And you know they're doing it on time. And then they get out of there. And that's it. I mean, what's the guy going to grill him so badly that he can't answer? He can do that. Austin can handle that stuff. But he just chose not to, and then he gets enabled. The league enables the players to do that, and I don't think they should.
Yeah.
I don't think they should.
I think, you know, from that standpoint, and this is a conversation that a lot of times is inside the game, inside the media. I'm not sure how many fans really care, and a lot of times the fans will protect the player first.
Right.
But I think it has to go all the way up the chain to the commissioner's office and has to be negotiated with the PA, where you have to send the players out, because I don't know this as a fact, but I would be willing to put a lot of money on it that the Maple Leaf PR went to him and said, I'm telling you, you got to do this. You're going to get grilled if you don't. And he probably just said, I'm not doing it.
Right.
Like, I'm not doing it. Because this PR staff, they understand the market. When Phaneuf decided not to talk, it was it was a story for a week.
Yeah.
And Matthews, let's be honest, he didn't play well last night. He hasn't played well all series. I thought what Babcock said about his game last night is as pointed of criticism as he's ever had for him.
He gave him every opportunity. He played him 20-plus minutes. In the third period, he threw him out with Johnsson and Kapanen, and then he put Marner everywhere with him. But
Babcock, he's been quick to criticize Nylander, quick to jump on Marner. Yeah, he's never criticized
Matthews.
And
last night he said, I thought Austin Matthews, and I thought Austin Matthews thought that he was going to come in and dominate this game, not there.
Yeah, he basically said he didn't show up.
And he also said that as a young player, you learn some hard lessons, and Austin's learning them right now. Like, kind of basically like, hey, you know, this is welcome to the league, kid. Welcome to the playoffs a second time around. Like, Babcock didn't hide his disappointment. He just veiled it. He covered it a little bit.
You know, Noodles, so you guys are and you guys are talking about the comments about Matthews. The one that really struck me was that he said, we were really set up well tonight. Like, you could sense the disappointment, and I didn't think that was going to happen. And the funny part is, I thought they played pretty good last night. They made the two bobbles at the blue line. The puck bounces by Gardner. I guess he could have taken the body there as it starts bouncing up the boards. The puck came to Dermott. He's got to go around the boards there to the puck. He just chose to shoot it in the spot where the guy was standing, and it hit his feet. I don't think that's a bad decision. It was bad execution, perhaps. But that was it. I mean, that was the game, right? I thought they played well. I thought they had more chances. I'm telling you, that little bugger Marchand is something else. Like, he just, he makes the move on Riley there. That's amazing footwork as he gets around him. And then now they screw up the icing call, but that's a chance for Toronto to take the lead.
Right.
Yeah.
Late in the period, right? They're tired. They can't get off, and 10 seconds later, it's in their net. But, man, he finds a way. And I think Matthews will find a way, whether it's tomorrow or in time. It's hard to be the go-to guy. We all found it hard to be in the league and to be, support guys, if that's the right term. But to be the out front guy, there's a lot more pressure, of course, that goes on that, because there's a lot of guys below Matthews and Nylander on this team that haven't played very well either.
Is that lady behind you doing a stand-up comedy routine? What is she up to?
No, you know what? I think you and Tyler should go in a room and compare notes on what it's like to be in an airport. Because I'm standing here, and Tyler says to me, "Hey, can we get it a little quieter in there?" And I'm like,
"Good for him. I like that."
Well, see, yeah, and I said to him, I go, "Okay, Tyler, I'll walk around and see if I can shut up the whole airport."
I honestly have never heard someone on the mic that long, though, at an airport.
It was like she was updating 80 flights. Oh, the other lady in Minnesota.
No, that was Ottawa. Do you remember her?
Oh my God.
And you wanted me to go over there and tell her
to be quiet.
Yeah. Hey, we're doing a radio show here. Have some respect.
So anyways, now it's quiet. So,
okay. Well, we're good.
Anyways, what we got, I look at the Leafs and I'm like, they weren't far last night. Man, Boston didn't play very well, I didn't think. I mean, what a hole without Bergeron in the lineup. And they're trying to muddle through without him. And the Leafs had a chance and they blew it. Now they go on the road. And can they win in Boston? Sure. I mean, Kadri's back, and, they'd have to play their best game by far of the series. But it kind of feels like the separation has happened in the series.
Yeah, last night was their opportunity. Last night was their night, because I saw the game the same way you saw it. I didn't think Boston generated anything. I don't think they were really trying to in the third. I mean, I think they decided, let's step back, let's shut it down. If we're not on top of the forecheck, everybody fall back into the neutral zone. And they didn't give the Leafs any shooting lanes, passing lanes. They defended brilliantly in the third. But really, they had those two two-on-ones where they capitalized on both, because for whatever reason, Zaitsev and Pollock still don't know how to play a two-on-one, and Freddie Anderson just froze or bid on both. And the Leafs couldn't capitalize on the Marner breakaway, on the Marner-Marlowe two-on-one. That's the game. I mean, that's really the game. And I guess you can throw in the Torrey Krug goal to start. And that's my concern about going into tomorrow night, is I am not in a position where I have faith that Freddie Anderson is going to steal a game, let alone three, which he probably is going to have to do. You look at him, you can't give up, you can't expect to win in the playoffs when your goalie gives up a brutal goal every single night.
So you guys thought the first goal was on him?
100%.
So there wasn't a screen in front of him? Was that a straight shot from the point?
It looked like a flick shot from the point, top shelf.
No, it was two screens, like there was a double screen. He doesn't even see the puck.
He doesn't see the puck. It's one of those things where...
It's an ugly goal, but I don't think it was like a bad goal. I think it was a screenshot that Krug finds a lane, and I think it was Riley Nash and whoever else. There was a defenseman battling in front, but he doesn't track it. Like, there's no...
Okay, well, whose responsibility is it to track?
Well, how about
it?
The defenseman clear a guy out of the front of the net?
Okay, but that's the game. What are you going to do? I mean,
okay, so you're going to say it's on the goalie because you can't stop what you can't see. But like, I don't think it was.
Okay, so that none of those goals were his responsibility. Last
But the 2-on-1, those were both on the defenseman.
Horribly played. But
so how is he supposed to get across?
He bit. Well, how did Tuukka Rask get across on Marleau? Like, at some point, you got to make a stop
because Marner was on the goal line when he passed it, not with Pasternak. The guy who's been the most dominant player in the series fakes a shot and freezes everyone and throws it across. Both those D, I would rather take my chances with Pasternak shooting.
So would
than,
I.
Then both of those D played it horribly.
I'm not letting the D off the hook. They played it terribly, and the Leafs have done that all year. But
Anderson can be better.
I'll give you the Marchand one. Pasternak made him bite, and it was a brilliant play. The DeBrusque
one. Two-on-ones, no chance. Whose ever fault it was in the first goal, it just can't go in because it screws
You're
up
right.
everything. Momentum.
And it's 30 seconds.
You might as well wipe your rear end with it. Ray, I think we got to let you go, pal.
On that comment, I think you should.
Enjoy your weekend.
See you, boys. We'll talk to you.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Well, the bigger point I'm trying to make is I don't have faith in Freddie Anderson right now. I just don't. And let's be honest, the easiest, most simplistic game plan, which is totally unfair, but we've recognized this for over 100 years in this sport,
right,
is if you ask me or anybody, hey, how do you think the Leafs can get back into the series?
It's got to be Freddie.
Freddie Anderson steals some games.
Absolutely.
Because if we're playing the history game, you go back to 2013 when the Leafs were down 3-1, James Reimer stole them game 5 and 6.
Yep.
Stole them both games.
Anderson has been bad in two. Stole last game.
Are you going Darren Dreger on this?
Yeah, game three, he played brilliantly in the third period, but he gave up two horrible goals in that
You're right,
game
but
as
I mean,
well.
The Leafs lose that game if he doesn't stand on his head. Like I say, you're outchanced, you're outshot.
Buddy, take a sip of that Perrier.
It's all good.
I'm choking.
It's all good. Well, because my takes are so hot right now.
I don't know. You're just giving
Holy
up.
Holy
They got a chance of coming back in this
I've
series
only got one
well.
Thing to say for Saturday night. When they get to the rink, the coach just has to go in and say,
what are we waiting for?
What are we waiting for?
Okay. Let's get back into Matthews and what Babcock had to say about him last night. The Raptors game 3 tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Pregame starting at 7. And Jay's in action as well. They've made some roster movements, some interesting ones. They're going to have a kid, one of their highly touted kids, come up and make his debut at Yankee Stadium tonight. We'll tell you more about that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, so we began the show yesterday. I was telling you about how that Leaf fan thought I was Patrick Marleau. And when we were down in the food truck yesterday, we don't have access to all the people texting in. We just don't have access to it. It's only on the computer here in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
So I went back and looked because I was kind of curious. I figured some people would be chirping. Like Noodles with the best chirp of all. You said I look like Mike Palmateer.
You wanted to know what you... I think he is. He's got a little bit of the Bozo the Clown happening with the hair.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the curly hair kind of on the outside.
Built
right?
like a grit grinder.
I love Mike Palmateer was one of my idols growing up. I loved that man.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, oh, you know him, right? You've met him and stuff?
Oh, yeah. That's what kind of the thing I loved about being a part of the alumni. It's like I used to be Palmateer playing road hockey.
We all did.
Then you get to meet him.
Not a big
just
man,
just a grizzled veteran.
I would love to see that gentleman. Like, I'd love to meet him face
to
face.
Yeah, he is
no
a big
one's
guy.
A legend like our boy Trees.
Yes, he is.
He pulled a veteran move in the alumni box that should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
It should have been automatic admission into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I heard about this off air.
Yeah. This man just put a patch on without even blinking an eye because you can't go out for darts.
I wonder how often that happens.
People bring a patch?
Well, yeah, because now with security being what it is, in arenas all over the world, you can't go out for smoking breaks anymore. Like, you can't go out
you
and have a smoke.
But I thought, like, maybe Trees would be vape guy.
He's the best.
I don't think you're allowed to vape technically either, but people do it. I've seen it in the ACC.
There are people that sneak their vapes in.
And it's not always nicotine either.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I've witnessed.
It's the Trudeau.
Yes.
The Trudeau old, tobacco.
Well, you know what day it is today.
What?
I don't get that. 420. Like, what do you got to go out and smoke a joint to prove to people that you're a weed person?
Yeah,
like, why
I've never
isn't
got
there
that
like
either.
I don't know. Jameson at 3:30 on a Friday, like to show
because,
that you have
well,
Jameson.
You know that's St. Patrick's Day.
There's
basically.
A day for everyone. There's a day for everyone. It's National Donut Day. It's National Hug Day. There's always something.
Yeah,
there's a day
oh,
for
every
everyone.
Single day. There's something. But this one's been around forever. But I don't even know if it's acknowledged by that whole. Everyone gets a day calendar. This has just always been there. I don't know the history behind it. I don't know why today is 420, why everyone smokes weed today or whatever. But it's always the people that smoke weed anyway.
Right.
Like, dude, every day is 420 for you.
Yeah.
Like, why are you celebrating as if, oh, yeah. this is the only day all year that I ever smoke? You smoke literally every day.
Yeah.
That's why you're back in the park today smoking again. And nobody cares that you smoke anymore. Go ahead. Do whatever the hell you want.
Yep. Do whatever you want. As long
leave
as you're
us
a productive
alone.
Member of society somehow.
Yeah. You know what I read this morning? I wasn't aware of this. And this is a pretty big troll job by the NFL. Their off-season drug testing period begins today. And it goes up until August 9th. So if you have never been clipped before for any banned substance,
right.
you will be tested at some point between today, 420, and August 9th. At any random point.
I really? Fully believe that athletes should be allowed to smoke dope if they want.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't, like...
Well, now it's...
It helps some people. Like, I don't know about dope. I don't smoke dope. Like, I don't know about it. But people say it helps in certain situations with health or...
Yeah, I have
or
a friend who has
joints
insomnia
or,
who's...
Smoke weed. I don't
has
care.
Has a card or whatever and...
Well, football players, like, a lot of them are like, dude, this is a self-medicating thing. Like, my body is so broken down. I can't sleep if I'm like this.
It's
right
the
now.
Hal Gale treatment just with a joint.
Yeah. Right. You so, know, and the truth is, I mean, it's becoming legalized everywhere anyway.
That's what I mean. Like,
so,
I think 10 years from now, that conversation is going to be just a lot different. Like, it's just the truth. Like, the world has changed. You have to change with the world. And... You know, I think we've talked about this off air. I mean, you know, I'll admit when I was a young kid and first started experimenting with alcohol, you know, you're 15, 16 years old having a beer. I mean, nowadays, 15, 16 years old, whatever. I mean, I don't know ages, but what's going to be the difference between...
Well, quite frankly, even without it being legalized,
right.
that's probably been
that's
the case anyway.
Do, right.
So... Whatever. Happy 420, if that's your thing. If you're celebrating this afternoon listening to Overdrive. Jays in action tonight in the Bronx. They lost last night. Game 2 of a 4-game series against the Yankees. Tonight we'll tee that up. Game 3 of the Raptors-Wizards as well. Raptors, this is basically a sweep opportunity for them tonight.
Dude, you're so confident. Yeah. I just stopped talking like that.
What I'm saying is if they win tonight, they're sweeping. Like,
yes.
No team in NBA history has come back from down 3-0. The Washington Wizards will completely mail in game 4 if they lose tonight. Completely.
Yeah.
That team is such a disaster anyway. I have a quote from Bradley Beal I want to get to. Why don't we play it quickly, and then we'll
sure.
get back into Matthews. And
just a quick note, today's Bob Marley's birthday. That's another reason.
Oh, is that? That's probably the
that's
reason
probably
why.
That's probably why it's 420 or whatever.
Just texted like that from right. my dear friend, Jacqueline.
Okay, good stuff. Good to hear. We'll let you hear what Bradley Beal had to say about his head coach and why I think, again, the Wizards are an unmitigated
turmoil,
disaster.
Man.
Completely tumultuous down there. And we'll get back into Matthews, his game last night, and what Babcock had to say about him. The Raptors are in action tonight, and they're down in Washington. I want
for the
you to
sweep,
hear this.
You forgot.
Yeah, I think they're going to sweep, but... You know, tonight obviously is going to determine that. What I'm saying is, if the Raptors win tonight, I think they absolutely crush them in game 4. Because I think Washington is just on
tilt.
The verge of... Yeah, they're on tilt, man. They're just waiting to fall off the cliff. And Bradley Beal and John Wall, they can't stop complaining. They can't stop outing refs and
right.
teammates. And they've had turmoil online and social media. And it's just been a weird, weird season for them.
By the way, just a little side note on that. That's a leadership issue above the players. The coach has got to get control of that situation and let them know that that type of conduct is not happening in that atmosphere.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because the head coach is Scott Brooks. Okay, yeah. So listen to this clip. I don't think it's a lengthy clip, but could you imagine you, as former athletes, outing this conversation, going public with what Bradley Beal went public with today, all right? Listen
to this. We are former players. We'll listen to the clip and then chime in.
He apologized to me, which is weird, because he's somebody who always holds me accountable for stuff, and, you know, he just basically challenged me. He challenged, you know, challenged me to be more aggressive on the offensive end and defensive end. And some of the situations we've been in, and granted being in foul trouble last game didn't help any, but, you know, just putting myself in a better position on the offensive end and challenging me more defensively to stop those guys.
Sorry, what was the apology for?
I don't know. I guess he figured I wasn't shooting the ball enough, and he felt like it was his fault, so... I don't know.
Could you imagine that? Imagine a coach goes to a player, if this actually happened, and said, apologize.
I owe you an apology. You got to get more looks, this and that.
And then the guy goes public and goes, yeah, no, he apologized.
Well,
if I'm
a coach, I'd have one solution for that next game. You're not going on the floor.
I would be fuming.
I would honestly, you're not going on the floor. You're such a douche that you needed to come out with that and tell everyone about our private conversations. No way. You're not going out.
Yeah, that's...
That says it all in D.C.
And especially with the commentary about it, I have no idea. He just felt bad.
Yeah.
Really?
He felt bad for you. You've been brutal.
He wanted you to succeed.
Yeah.
He wanted you to succeed. Well, now you're not going to play.
He apologized to me. Like that, I couldn't believe it when I heard that clip. I could not believe this guy went public with a private conversation that may or may not have actually happened.
Right.
But let's say Brooks went to him and said, listen, man, he's an important player. Bradley Beal's a really important player.
Right.
He said, listen, it's on me. I wanted to get you more. I'm going to get you more in the future.
Yeah.
I'm sure Brooks left that meeting thinking, all right, we're on good terms. I need him feeling good about tonight.
Yeah.
Instead, this guy goes to the media and says, yeah, he apologized to me. He apologized.
What possibly positive thing could come out of that?
Nothing. There's nothing positive that could come out of that. You make your coach look soft in a
weak,
way,
yeah, like weak. Weak, yeah,
yeah. You
like make you don't run the team, like you're just trying to kiss his ass to make sure. Like, and to me, he seems very insecure.
Yes,
that like he's got to get out there. Like, yeah, the coach apologized to me because I got to do this, and like I disagree with that whole sentiment.
I was really surprised by that. I guess I shouldn't be because it's the Wizards, and that's
nail his ass to the bench.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen. He's
no,
going to play.
You need him.
A couple of people tweeting in wondering if your friend Jacqueline is actually stoned right now. Because apparently Bob Marley, his birthday was in February. it's not today. So right back to your friend Jackie and tell her to put the bong down. And thank you for contributing to the show. How stoned is your friend right now?
Yeah, she's
Jerry's percentage.
I don't know, but I don't think you can't come up with that stat unless it's...
Well, you're just making things up. Yeah, it's his birthday.
You have
Bob
to
Marley's
confirm
birthday.
That.
Like,
you have to confirm that.
Okay,
probably.
I'll send a note.
Although it's kind of on us. Like, nice vetting system.
Yeah, exactly.
Some random woman texts you and you're like, nah, it's Bob Marley's birthday. I just want to throw that out.
It's not some random woman. It's my high school girlfriend.
Okay, well, but still.
A buddy of yours. Yeah.
Put the bong down, Jacqueline.
No, don't talk like that.
All right, so... Let's hear what Babcock said post-game about Matthews. If you missed it, he danced around it to an extent, but at the same time, he's never been publicly critical of Matthews. A couple of comments here or there, throwaway comments. But when you hear what he says about Nylander, and I thought William Nylander really struggled last night, really was on the perimeter and was floating at times. It was not a good look for him.
Yeah.
But Matthews has not been good enough, and we know that. I'm sure he knows that. He came out today and said, we're showing up game five. Almost called a shot and said we're going to be much better and they're going to need that. But here's what Babcock said post-game about Matthews.
The great thing about playoff time and being a young guy is you get lots of lessons. And no one's more aware of this than he is, I can tell you that right now. And I'm assuming that he thought he was going to come tonight and dominate the game. That's what I thought. I thought the same with Willie. That didn't happen.
So... He's just calling a spade a spade. They did not dominate, but I'm sure Babcock was looking at it thinking, okay, he had a big goal in game three. Bergeron is out.
Just starting to get.
You're at home.
Up here, yeah.
It's a must win again. Let's get rocking here. We need 34 really rolling. And he didn't pull his weight last night. He didn't play well enough. He wasn't awful, but he just couldn't break through.
Well, and
he was awful. I went through the tape again. It's not good. Yeah, it was awful.
I mean, the Bruins did really good job of limiting time and space, too. Like, that's the one thing that the Bruins aren't getting enough credit for, how tightly they checked that game. I mean, you're on the road, you're coming off a loss, and your number one centerman's not playing. One of the better players in the league, period.
Okay, I got to just... People, I don't care when Bob Marley's birthday is. His birthday is on February 6th.
Okay.
Jacqueline has wrote me, and she's sorry. She screwed up. I don't know why she would think that today is Bob Marley's birthday, but it's not.
Maybe somebody told her. That's it.
I don't know. Maybe she's in the car with someone driving, and someone said, today's Bob Marley's birthday.
Yeah, broken telephone.
Swing and a miss.
Fake news. That's what it is.
That's so random.
You are fake news.
Yeah. Jacqueline is fake news.
You are fake news.
Yeah. Wrong.
Did you hear this story?
Wrong.
Trump today with the Forbes 400. Did you hear about that? We should do a bit on that.
Yeah.
Where I guess someone dug up like tape of a guy who was claiming his name was John Barron, but it's pretty blatantly Trump.
Right.
And he's talking up Trump and trying to get him into the Forbes 400. And I guess it worked out, but somehow the tape found its way to the public about 33 years later.
Yeah.
Anyway, not that that really matters anymore, but it's just one more story where people are like, that's interesting. Yeah. All right, so Riley Smith is going to join us from the Vegas Golden Knights.
This guy's having the time of his life.
He should be. Week off in Vegas, home ice in the second round.
And how about Petey DeBoer yesterday saying his players were looking to go to Vegas for practice time early?
What do the Vegas guys do
in Vegas?
That's what we got
to
find out.
Or, yeah, to like, hey, we got to go to somewhere else to get out of here type of thing.
They're probably going to San Jose.
Yeah, we got to go to
San Jose.
Actually,
we'll come to you,
Petey
DeBoer.
I'd fly them right to Hartford for the week.
I go to Phoenix.
That's what I would do.
Can you get in much trouble in Phoenix, like just golfing and hanging out and stuff?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if the Waste Management Open is on, then you could probably get into some trouble.
Right.
Next thing you know, William Carlson's like streaking down the 16th hole at the Waste Management.
Right.
That would probably cause a bit of a scene, but outside of that, I think it's all good. So we'll catch up with him, Tom Stoerner, former assistant coach of the Raptors, on Game 3 tonight. His take on Bradley Beal outing his coach for allegedly apologizing, didn't get him enough touches in the first two games. And Jays game 2 of their 4-game series down at Yankee Stadium. We'll keep teeing that up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, we're going to tee up game 3 of the Raptors-Wizards tonight to kick off the 5 p.m. hour. We had Ray join us earlier in the hour. You can find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca, or subscribe and check us out on iTunes. Darren Dreger coming up from Winnipeg tonight. Feel like that's the end of the road for Minnesota and our buddy Bruce Boudreaux.
I would think so. I mean, although, if you take a look at Winnipeg's back end, Sammy Niku's, I think, going to draw in Tucker Poolman. But Tyler Myers said this morning he's going to play. Morrissey's out. Enstrom's out. Like, they've got, you know, some significant people who are dinged up on the back end. But if Myers comes back and can absorb 20 minutes, that's a big get for the Jets back, because Morrissey's serving, obviously, the one-game suspension.
Well, and they're coming off an extra day off as well. So yeah. Big Buff is going to play a ton tonight, you would think. And
I mean, at this point, if you're Winnipeg, you smell blood and you've got a stomp. That's the truth.
Yeah. Well, and it's the same thing Boston will be thinking tomorrow night.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, Boston, the last thing you want to do is get into a situation where you got to go back to Toronto for a game 6, and you never know how that goes. And then, you know, and then you place yourself in a game 7, and it's you have to have that killer instinct. And that's the truth. And you look at it, all the series tonight are 3-1. Pittsburgh has to be the same way with Philly. Mm-hmm. And Nashville has to be the same way with Colorado. Like, you can't give any life whatsoever.
And I don't think they will. I think Tampa wins tonight as well. I think all of those series more than likely come to an end tonight. But we'll keep teeing up game 5 tomorrow night. again, Leafs, Bruins down in Boston. We're teeing it up throughout the afternoon. We're looking back on what happened at the ACC last night. Big one for the Raptors tonight. You can hear that game. Game 3 down in Washington right here on TSN Radio.